I feel in some way we've all already heard the message today in the song sung and the prayers prayed. And I'm going to invite whoever has just an extra Kleenex, because that choir wrecked me a little bit, right? Did you not feel that to the, like, to the innermost part of who you are? Right? That's awesome. Thank you. It just might be this front pew right here.
I just
use
my sleeve.
Yeah. But, I mean, let's just think about that for a second. Our prelude that reminds us it is God who reigns. Our young, what is their name?
Higher Ground.
Who in the song Waymaker reminds all of us that if it can be personally, it can be relationally, it can be about neighborhood or state or nation or world, when things seem impossible, that there's a Waymaker. That reminder to us that the God that we know, our God, who transcends all time and all space, is also present with us. Surely the presence of the Lord is indeed in this place. Do you all agree? And raise your hands. Raise your hands. Sometimes we're comfortable doing this. Sometimes we can sense the hand of our soul, you know, like that part of us that's that deep part of us where our mind, body, spirit all intersect. I mean, surely you felt something rising up within you as the choir led us in song. You will hear after the message, bring forth the kingdom. And I don't know. I know sometimes I'm at places where folks lean away from kingdom language. Sometimes I'm in places where they prefer to use kingdom language. I'm thinking about the family of God that God is dreaming for us. Whatever your comfortable language is, your preferred language, let us agree today that we not only are longing for, but we are pleading for God's dreams to begin to come true in this world, that we might know peace, that we might know justice, and that we might know one another deeply as siblings in Christ in a beautiful, beautifully diverse and complex world. I don't know that you really needed me here today, but I'm delighted to be here. But before I bring a word or two, I am curious if you are able, if you have served as a pastor in this conference or any other conference, could you just stand up for a minute? All right, so it's Pastor Appreciation Month, right? We appreciate the ministry that was and is yet to come. Thank you, thank you, thank you. For those of you who have had pastors in your family, please stand. Families, here's the deal. I recognize not only the service, but the sacrifice that a family lives into as they support those called into the vocation of ordained or licensed ministry. Are there parents and grandparents in this place? If you are seeing in the young of this church or the young in your family a call to ministry in one of the children in your life, please stand. So, right, let's give God a hand for the next generation that God is raising up. So here we are in person and in online worship, and we're hanging out with First Kings. And we're leaning into Solomon's story in a world that needs wisdom and knowledge. I mean, let's just return to the highlights. And I just want to confess that there is often a bit of weaving that is required of a congregation when I'm preaching, because I'll go a little bit over here and a little bit over here. And the goal is, if not for me, for you, they'll start to connect somehow. But in 1 Kings chapter 3, we learn that Solomon made an alliance by marrying the daughter of Pharaoh. We learned that Solomon loved the Lord and followed his commands, but he also offered sacrifices at the high places. We heard that God appeared to Solomon in a dream and said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Hold that question for a moment. I wonder if we pause right there and God asked you a similar question, what would you seek? What would you ask for if God said anything, anything you want, I will give it to you? Solomon asked for wisdom and an understanding heart to judge the people of Israel so that he could discern what? What did he want to discern? What is that tension we always sit in? This is participatory, right? What did Solomon want to be able to discern with his wisdom? Good and evil. Right? What is righteous? What is not righteous? What is it about God's dream and humanity's dream? What is that tension? And how can he discern in that? Because he did say, I'm young and I'm not so wise, right? I'm new to this. And God was pleased. I mean, what a goal for all of us every day, to do something that pleases our God. God was pleased with Solomon's request and granted him not only wisdom, but also riches and honor as sort of the bonus. What I also love about this is Solomon's like, you remember how fantastic my dad was? And God's like, yeah, I remember how fantastic your dad was. And I wonder if any of you were sitting out there thinking, David had some not so fantastic times, right? Right? But we saw something about God's redemptive love revealed in those words. Now, I always like a takeaway. See, now here's a little bit of a shift, just in case. And I don't know. I don't see anyone really feverishly writing down what I'm saying. But it's on tape. That's good. But I always like takeaways because it gives us something to hold on to. So did anybody bring a hand today? Some of you brought two. Excellent. You just need one. So choose the hand of your choice, right? Choose a hand. Just take a look at it. You know the part of the scripture where God says to Solomon, you're going to be set apart. There was no one like you before you, and there'll be no one like you down the road. That's not unique only to Solomon. Look at your hand. If you look closely, you see your little thumbprints and fingerprints. Even identical twins don't have identical prints. It's a weird thing. There's no one like you but you. No one before, no one after. And God has invited you into great things. So there's five takeaways. I mean, we've not even gotten to the sermon yet. But I'm going to give you takeaways just in case that doesn't show up in the sermon. But five takeaways. The little pinky finger, right? Our wisdom is small. God's wisdom is big. So as you look at your pinky finger, remember your smallness in the world. And that it is important for us to seek wisdom from God in all things, but especially when we're facing challenging and complex situations in times that we see ourselves in, both in our church and in our world. We need to seek God's wisdom to make just and informed decisions. So what's this? Our wisdom is small. God's wisdom is big. All right. What do you often put on this finger? A ring. Like, I don't wear rings, but I know some that do. If you're wearing a ring on a finger, just put up your hands. This is a raise your hand kind of day. So, in wearing a ring, I want you to think about self-sacrifice. For those that, for example, have a wedding ring on today, it symbolizes a covenant, right? That there are times where you sacrifice something for a greater good in your relationships. Now, I don't just mean the relationships in your home, but in all of our relationships, in our covenant relationship with God that we know in and through our baptismal vows, we are called at times to self-sacrifice for the greater good. We're called into humility. We're called into covenant. All right, so what was this one? Our wisdom is small, God's wisdom is big. What is this one? Self-sacrifice. Very good. Now, there's the next finger. My grandma calls it the index finger. My grandfather called it something else. But it's the one that stands tallest, right? Take a look at your hand. Even if just by a little bit, it stands tallest. I want you to think about peace and justice and the value of pursuing peace and justice. The importance of resolving conflict when you just maybe, I'm going to just go there, want to show the world your index finger, right? I mean, we can be truth speakers in this place, can we not? Yes. Solomon models for us that peaceful and just solutions should be priority. Nothing more, nothing less. This finger, we use it a lot, don't we? We use it when we direct. We use it when we scold. When we use it when the Vikings win. I know I'm trying, because I'm trying, right? The Vikings win. I want us to think about the importance of discerning righteousness. You know, like sometimes you just are thinking. So you can take a thinking posture with this finger. And just discerning righteousness, where Solomon's discernment was between good and evil, not just so that he could know, but so that he could lead. And he would strive in so many situations to discern righteousness. And we didn't get there today, and it might be coming down the road, so I'm not going to go too far into it. But shortly after this passage, two women bring one child, and they ask Solomon to make a decision. Solomon is leaning into these four. And when the choice was divide the child in half and each take a piece, or that self-sacrifice decision, you see the wisdom of Solomon. And then this, you can even use both. This is thumbs up for God's guidance, right? That's the other takeaway, that it is important to seek God's guidance and rely on our faith during times of plenty and times of difficulty. And it is an A-OK thing to pray and to work toward peace. All right. Here, here, now we're going to go here. They did not give me a time. So... right? So you're either having lasagna for lunch or for dinner. But will you sit with me for just a moment about who you call yourselves to be? Crosswinds United Methodist Church. Crosswinds. They can be a blessing. They can be dangerous. Crosswinds. I wonder if ever you've been on an icy road and the crosswind caught you. What happens? A power that is not your own moves you and the vehicle you're in. And your heart panics just a bit. And you hope to gain control. But crosswinds aren't always dangerous. Now, we can drive particularly across the Midwest right now and see how crosswinds are being used to generate energy, right? Wind energy. There's some good with that, and there's some challenges with that. Crosswinds can bring a cooling, particularly in hot and humid climate. I wonder if you've ever been out on a high humidity day, just hoping that a crosswind would cool you a bit. Now, anybody ever spend time on a farm or in a garden? Crosswinds are important for pollination, to help move things to where they need to be. I know someone's thinking, we didn't know you're going to get a science lesson today, but it's all good. Do we have any balloon pilots in the house? Right? Well, me, I'm not one either, but they use crosswinds to find their direction and the right altitude that they should be at so that they can travel safely to their next destination, not too quickly, and in winds that are not too dangerous. They use, the pilots of balloons use crosswinds to explore the skies and to also get a bird's eye view of where we are. How about sailors? If we didn't have balloon pilots, do we have any sailors in our midst? Look, there's like one confession. But they can add both an element of challenge and excitement when you're out on the waters. And skilled sailors can, use the crosswinds to maneuver their boats both in unexpected and beautiful ways. There's an efficiency that comes. So crosswinds. I don't know how you landed at the name that you did. I suppose I could ask Pastor Dan when I see him next. Why crosswinds? But I do believe this. If a church employs these five things, you can be dangerous in the very best sense of the word. Working for peace and justice. Confronting evil in its many forms. Believing, in fact, that you can make a difference in a neighborhood for the youngest and the oldest that live in the home. Crosswinds speak a bit about dream and potential. So I wonder, if God were to ask you the same question he asked Solomon, what would your response be? Ask for whatever you want me to give you. Just sit in that for a moment. Think deeply. And more deeply yet. Because I do believe that our seek, ask, knock God, right? That our God is longing to know our dreams. And our God is longing to respond to our dreams. So go ahead, right now, where you are, ask God for what you desperately and deeply need. And Solomon's story reminds us that it's not just about us. So in that same spirit, ask God for one or two things that the world desperately needs. Go ahead, ask God for that now. The beauty of our God is God's tuned into each of us. So here's our prayer. And it is not only about us, and it's not only about the world, but it's also about this church, Crosswinds United Methodist Church. I know there has to be one or two things that you're longing for this church. Maybe one thing inside the walls and another thing outside the walls. But go ahead, right now, lift to God those one or two things that you're longing for this church. Maybe when we look at the condition of our neighborhood, our church, our nation, and world, One of the things that we asked for is just a little bit more wisdom. Just a little bit more of wanting to know the mind of God, so that what we do and how we do it might line up to God's dream for us. It might be that you talked to God about your covenant relationships, your relationships in your home, perhaps relationships at work, your relationship with God, your relationship with one another, and the need for us. And I don't know, but my spirit is just saying, not only to the church, but to Washington, D.C., a spirit of self-sacrifice for the greater good. I wonder if your prayer was for wisdom around peace and justice, and that peace and justice would be priority work. I wonder if your prayer was about discerning righteousness and God's guidance. Here's what I know. I don't know a lot. I know even less than Solomon knew, to be honest with you. I know, people of Crosswinds United Methodist Church, you are people of power. God's power is in you. I know, Crosswinds United Methodist Church, that you are people of wisdom, seeking to make the right decisions not only for your own discipleship and development inside these walls, but you're seeking that wisdom for who you need to be outside these walls, because, well, you don't invest in what you just invested in without dreaming a dream for those that are not yet here, right? I suspect you're seeking direction. I suspect you're seeking wisdom. And I suspect this as well. Do you remember how God delighted in Solomon's response? I suspect there is a part of you that simply wishes to delight God in the way that you live, in the way that you love, in the way that you serve, in the way that you speak up when your voice needs to be heard, and hush up when it doesn't need to be heard. I believe, as people of faith, that we want to delight God in what we do. Please join with me in a spirit of prayer. Gracious Creator, we come before you today recognizing the beauty and power of the crosswinds that blow through our lives. And just as these winds move across our paths, your guidance and presence are with us. We cannot think about crosswinds without thinking about the cross, about what you have done for us in and through the incarnation of Jesus, his birth, his growing up, his life, his ministry, his death, his resurrection. We cannot think about crosswinds without thinking about the cross. Oh, and Holy One, we cannot think about the crosswinds without thinking about the winds of the Holy Spirit that blew into the church on Pentecost and birthed the church as your plan A, to be your hands, your heart at work in this world. So we give you thanks for the crosswinds that remind us of the diverse forces of nature and the way they shape the world. May we, your church, learn to adapt and thrive amidst the changes they bring. just as we adapt to the changes in our own lives. We ask for strength and wisdom when faced with crosswinds of challenge and adversity. Grant us the ability to stand firm like a tree in the wind and to navigate life's turbulent moments with grace and resilience. We acknowledge the positive impacts of crosswinds in our world, from the refreshing breeze on a hot day to the energy of harnessed for power. May we find inspiration in the ways these winds contribute to our well-being and the sustainability of our planet. As we journey through the crosswinds of life, help us remember that you are our constant guide and our protector. Grant us the courage to embrace change and the discernment to see the opportunities it presents. Help us to seek wisdom, guidance, and favor, and to do what we do in the ways that we do it, so that you might delight in the ways in which we join you in your hope for the world. It is in the power of the cross and in the power of Pentecost winds that we offer this prayer, knowing just as the crossed winds move, you remain a steady presence in our lives. Alleluia. Amen.